This is a Collider.com audio interview.
How are you doing, sir?
Very well.
So, since I'm sure we'll have limited time, let me jump in and say this character seems like a blast.
Yeah, it's fun.
Can you talk a little bit about your character and just how much fun you're having with Bruce?
Well, the character, as all four of us, Bruce and Helen Mirren, Morgan Freeman is a retired CIA assassin, and mine is a kind of survivalist type who lives somewhere in a swamp and is a little bit whacked. And it's really been fun. I've loved it. Like the cast and the actors, and very, very much get along with the director and with the cinematographer, whose father I worked with a couple of times, and I've known since he was quite young, Florian. So it's been great.
Was this the first time Bruce had met before?
No, we'd met a couple times over the years, but never worked together before. In fact, we sort of started out at about exactly the same time in New York in the early 80s. So I'd met him once or twice then, and a couple times passing through.
We've been told this is kind of a road movie. It makes me think of kind of buddy road movies. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any male bonding that you did while you were on the road? You know,
a lot of drinking on this set.
But I'm, in fact, you're drinking right now, right?
Yeah, but I'm not on the starting five in that group, I'm afraid.
Have you been making a conscious effort to do sort of like action-y mainstream stuff lately? Because you have Jonah Hex, it seems like you almost did Spider-Man, and you've got this. Mm-hmm. Is that like a conscious decision, or is it just the way the scripts have come in?
No, it's the way they've come in. In between, what have I done? Couple of fashion lines and an opera in Vienna, and I don't know, directing a play in Mexico, and then we're producing a movie here that starts shooting in 10 days or so also.
Down here?
Ah.
Down here?
Yes.
Can you say what movie it is?
Yes, it's called Jeff Who Lives at Home.
And how did you get involved with that?
Through our production company, Mr. Mudd, and it's something that Jason Reitman developed that we did Juno with, and he asked us to produce it with his company.
I'm curious about the medallion you're wearing.
Yes, so am I.
there's obviously, could you tell people what they are, and what is the motivation for having them?
This is Mexican Olympics. I thought maybe Marvin could have done some event there, but I'm not sure what. And this one is Russian.
Does your character get a lot of backstory in the film, or?
Oh, they don't. Any of them really have tons of backstory. I mean, except Bruce's character. So.
Yeah.
Frank a little more, but not sort of scads about his past life.
But just through dialogue, you know that there's a big history between these two.
Yeah.
Could you talk about the pink?
I was just going to ask.
Yeah, little stuffed animal you might have with you.
And why?
Oh, the pig.
Yeah, and why your character?
I'm not
that
clear why. It's a pig as opposed to like a duffel bag. I never asked myself. But he carries weapons in it. It's at some point early in the film when they find out that they are targets for something that happened many, many years ago. My character announces, "I'm getting the pig." So it's never really clear why or if that's really a good idea, but it's a kind of call to arms, I guess.
How much was added to the character after you came on? You know, was there a growth beyond what was written?
No, I don't know. I mean, anybody doing something brings something to it. It's not for me to say if it's growth. Might be. quite different. But just by the nature of everyone has a different take on material. Some people, we've all done films where you have major questions about the material, either about, perhaps even about the structure, or about how that character is manifested within a structure, or how that character, the dialogue used. But this, I really haven't changed anything unless I was asked to. I mean, this is the script I read pretty verbatim for me.
Now, did you, your character's not in the comic book, but do you look at the comic book? Have you read it?
I looked at it. No, but really, I just read the script.
Did it give you any kind of, like, inspiration for anything, or did you kind of have a feeling from it that you used with your character? Maybe?
I thought my character was pretty clear in the script. I mean, I didn't have any questions about it, really. Just maybe sort of where was he from originally. Because I probably had a different idea, but a slightly different first impression from the script.
Yeah.
We're all looking forward to seeing Helen Mirren firing very large guns.
Yeah.
Were you on set?
As opposed to having one. Yeah, no kidding. That sort of hit touches all the bases, doesn't it?
Were you on set for any of that stuff? And could you talk about working with
Sure. Helen? Yeah. Well, she's fantastic, Helen. Great pro. Very funny. A lot of fun to be around. And I think probably secretly enjoyed shooting, squeezing off a few rounds.
Do you have a lot of actions? Is most of your action work with weapons? Or do you have any hand-to-hand, like, do you have any personal fight scenes yourself? Or?
No, mostly with weapons.
It's mostly with the weapons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your character's backstory, did I get it right? CIA experimented some LSD on your character?
Uh-huh.
Did you draw from personal experience for that? Did you do some research?
No.
From your CIA
but,
days?
No, but, I was around in those days. I remember it quite well.
We're always.
Every kid on the floor of my dorm.
But not you.
No, I was never much of a drug taker.
We heard about your time in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about where that is, how you got involved with clothing and designing?
Well, I designed costumes because I started with the theater in Chicago and somehow a few times it sort of fell to me to do it, and I had studied it in school and always liked it. And then around 2001 an Italian man asked me to do a line, and I did that for 5 years and stopped just for the old really artistic differences. And then some other Italians asked me to start again last year, so a year and a half ago.
Can you tell us about the scene that you were shooting earlier today?
In the script, there is a New York Times reporter has been killed, and they get a list of names that she had, and they're trying to ascertain what the link is between Frank and Marvin, who are the only two people in our group on the list, and the other people who've been killed. So we go to meet this sort of air cargo pilot who's on the list and is, I think at that point, the only other one that's still alive. And so we go to see him here. And I've seen this woman at the bus station who's firing at us,
And I ask for, well, I don't really ask for permission, but I tell Frank I'm going to blow her head off. And she says she's working for Coldwell Banker, and she's nothing to do with it. And here she shows up a bit later with the RPG and all kinds of stuff.
We heard through the film that you're making a lot of statements, like they're watching us, that helicopter's on us, and everyone thinks you're crazy. Mm-hmm. But perhaps towards the end, you're redeemed.
Yeah, well, sometimes it happens quite quickly, but he's a little bit whacked out, but often correct about his fears. I mean, his statements are often proved to be accurate.
And why don't the other characters believe you when you say that someone is watching you?
Because he walks around with a pink pig.
Yeah, but if he's proven to be right a lot, I mean.
And he lives in a car.
What was your reaction to that? We've heard a lot about the design of Marvin's car layer.
It's fantastic. It was terrific. I liked it very much.
Do you, I mean, you're...
You know, weapons and cans of beans. What else do you need?
Do you believe in conspiracy theories? Your character seems kind of paranoid, kind of like have that element. Do you have that element to yourself?
Not so much. No, not so much. I mean, I have never met that many people so clever as to be able to kind of pull off all the conspiracies that exist in the world. I think the world is kind of a bit more chaotic than that and accidental usually.
Gotcha. Did you, as a kid, did you always want to be an actor when you were a kid, or did you ever want to be a CIA operative?
No.
Never occurred to you?
No, neither being an actor ever occurred to me. Really.
What were you going to be when you were a kid?
I don't know, I was pretty heavy, so I guess I could have done well in sort of those eating contests.
You let go of that dream?
Yes. I don't know, I probably would have wanted to have been a baseball pitcher or a football player.
Are you given a lot of creative freedom with your lines, or are they just making you kind of stick to script?
Oh, I don't think Robert would mind so much, but I like the script, so I mean, unless there are changes that call for a different phrasology within the dialogue or different dialogue entirely, I mean of course one often does that in movies, and I've often written huge parts of movies, but I didn't really see the need with this. I like it. I like the way it is.
I'm curious. I'm a big fan of Michael Bay, and he's announced that you're in Transformers 3. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with that? Did he call you, or...?
He did. I spoke with him last week, but Lorenzo and Mark at Summit are producing it, who are producing this, so they approached me about it, and... I'd seen the first one, which I liked and thought was funny, and I like working with them very much. They're very good producers, very hands-on, always around, and really get their hands dirty, which is not so normal.
You seem to operate on a higher plane than he doesn't give it as an actor. I mean, are you meant to popcorn movies, really?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was never a kind of fanatical movie person, but yes, many really popular films I absolutely love, like anyone else. I, having said that, I'm not someone who's... I don't have time to go to the movies really very much or any of that because I work at a lot of different things. I'm usually pretty busy, but I'm always happy to see a good popular movie. You know.
So were you disappointed about the Spider-Man thing?
Yes, but... I mean... Because I like Sam and I like Toby and all that stuff, and the producers, two of whom I'd met before, because I'd been offered the first one, and one of which I came to know, I like them all and everything, and sure, why not? But, you know, it didn't.
Conjecture about which part you were offered. Was it the Vulture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been nice to see.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the people who sort of follow that genre... I'm not sure. I never really spoke with Sam about this. But I'm not sure they... Maybe either the kind of fan base, the fanboys, the base of that, either... perhaps didn't approve of that character as an adversary for him to some extent, or maybe the studio, or maybe that was totally unrelated to why it fell apart.
I can tell you from the fan perspective of people online, they were very excited to see you join the franchise and play the Vulture.
Oh yeah? Because I heard various things about it, but yeah, it was a drag because I like Sam, but and he's offered me a couple of things, and it hasn't worked out just for Catholicity reasons. But.
You mentioned Vienna, which I've been very lucky, and I've been there. It's the most beautiful place. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about being in Vienna and working in that city, and what do you love about that city? Mm-hmm.
Well, I've only worked there twice, once for a rather long period and once not so long, but... This is an opera that I do with a Viennese Baroque orchestra conductor and a very bright and very gifted Viennese opera director, and also has directed movies, etc. But I think essentially works, has a fantastic background in classical music. And we do a piece together which we played in Vienna last summer, which went very well, and then hooked up to tour a lot in Europe this summer, kind of everywhere for a month and a half or so. And Vienna I liked very much. I was always attracted to it as a kid. I mean, I don't know why, because I don't have Austrian blood or any kind of personal history there, but I think because I was always really interested in what happened there kind of near the end of the 19th and in the early 20th century, so much of what we consider the modern world was sort of came from there. I mean, from painting to music to psychiatry to great essays by people like Karl Kraus, novelists, playwrights, etc. So I was always very interested, and I've always loved it. I've been many times, but always really loved it. It's very beautiful. And always something interesting to see even the design sort of like the Wiener Werkstatter and the arts and crafts and the architecture, etc., etc. It always appealed to me. I really love to spend time there.
We spoke with Carl Urban earlier about the weapons training and how they would go on some downtime and go to the shooting range and stuff like that. Did you participate in any of those things?
I did. No, I kept waiting. My son, I have an 18-year-old, and he kept kind of menacing me to come. So I was kind of waiting for him. I mean, I've shot a lot of guns in my life, though, so...
Yeah.
Is that something you look forward to, is, like, being involved with, like, violence in films? I mean, is
No, not particularly, but you know, shoot 'em up. It's part of movies. I mean, I don't have anything against it, but I've never owned a gun, and I don't particularly plan on taking pot shots at anyone in the near future.
Handling a firearm?
Yeah, sure.
On
but
that note.
You know, they're all different, so I mean, even if you've shot, you know, whatever, an AK before, well, there's Egyptian, there's Bulgarian, there's Romanian, there's Russian, there's
right.
And they're all happy slightly back. Different. So you always have to practice, you know, loading, unloading, chambering, etc., etc.
Yeah, I copy. They're ready for you.
Very well, thank you, sir.
Thanks for your time.
Okay,
thank
take
you.
Care.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you.